Alrighty. Hello, loves. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, if you're listening yesterday, you understand that we did have a call from Emily, and she actually is the one who gave me the idea to do an extended program today on what it is like to be blind. If you prefer visually impaired, I'm going to say blind because, as many of you know, I'm lucky to have any use of my right eye. And thank God the surgery gave me vision of 20/25 in an eye where the total there was a total detachment of the retina. So, look, I've got empathy for people who are without sight. Because you don't realize how important it is until you lose it or you run the risk of losing it. And I was just talking about one eye, and I'm not going to say I was depressed beyond words, but I was concerned grievously about what the outcome was going to be. And I'm very grateful for the outcome. It just came out like so much better than I thought. So anyway, we've been talking to blind people so far, and I want to get right back to the calls. Diane in Buffalo. Diane, you are on WBEN. What is your story?
My story is that I have been totally blind since 2007, and I live by myself. I don't have any paid assistance or anything, and my story is it's a challenge. It's difficult, but it's a challenge, but it is doable. There's so many organizations. First of all, you need to reach out to the New York State Commission for the Blind because they have information of all the things that are available, primarily what I know, the VIA, which years ago just used to be called the Blind Association.
Right.
You can get mobility training, day-to-day living skills, social work, you get a social worker, the New York State Division, Commission for the Blind will provide vocational training. They can pay for it. You have to reach out. Just like a sighted person, when you learn to drive a car, you just don't sit there. And you automatically, you know what to do. Either somebody trains you. And that's the same way it's necessary for people who are blind. And that's what happened with me. And
so,
I cook for myself. You know, I do everything that a sighted person does, but it is a challenge. And you have to learn to do it in a different way.
Do you mind my asking what caused your blindness?
I have something called, and it's a rare, it's called Harada's syndrome. It started when I was in high school, and it progressed. I started out with detached retinas, but I'm 79. So at the time my retina detached, they didn't have the medical things that they do now for a detached retina. In my left eye, I had a hole, and they tried to put a stitch in it. Mm-hmm. And in my right eye, it was bed rest.
Hey.
It's been so long ago.
Are we talking upside down bed rest where you were in a prone position?
No, just laying in the bed and not moving. Yeah. But that was, I'm 79, so my goodness, that was more than 60 years ago. Because now,
yeah,
like you said, with the problem you had, they were able to laser it. At the time it happened to me, there was no lasering.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, Diane, I believe me, I'm thankful every day that I see as well as I do. I mean, I see better with my right eye now than I did before the retina detached, which is just something that nobody expected.
That's a blessing, Tom. That is a blessing.
I agree with you, and it was just totally, totally unexpected. As far as making ends meet, and this, again, forgive my ignorant question, but, okay, I'm going to presume at your age you receive Social Security benefits, correct?
Okay. It's the same with a sighted person. For a while, I retired from the county in 2005. I had poor vision. I didn't have any vision in my left eye and my right eye. My vision was poor, and I was designated as being blind or visually impaired, even though I had some sight. So I had retirement and Social Security. So it would be the same way for anybody. You know, whatever your income is, that's what your income is.
Okay, now, but if I guess my question, to extend the question further, is, as a sighted person, I know how much money I've got, I know how much money I'm spending, et cetera, et cetera. How do you keep track of that? Do you have, like, a talking program that helps you manage your money?
What I do is, when I go to the bank to get money out, I only get fives and ones.
Huh.
Because you really don't carry that much money anymore. Use a card, you know, debit card,
yes,
credit cards. So the money that I have with me is either a five or a one.
Well, you know, Diane, you retired from the county. And I remember years ago, and we're talking like 30 years ago, so I think you probably would have been there. You remember the guy who operated the stand that sold the papers, the cigarettes, the candy, the snacks?
Yeah.
And he was totally blind, basically had to rely on the goodwill of his fellow man to make sure that if somebody said, "I just gave you a 20, it wasn't really a 1.
I remember him. And I felt, at that time, I had some sight, so I was just amazed that he could run a store that way. But nowadays, they have, on your phone, I have an Apple phone.
Right.
And there's an app on the phone that you can download, and you can put the piece of money underneath the camera, and it'll tell you what it is.
Huh. Yeah, I tell you, the iPhone is definitely the... definitely the phone of choice of people without vision. That's one thing I've definitely gotten from today's show. Did you hear the guy who called in earlier who uses his iPhone to tell him what color shirt he's got, what color pants he has, et cetera?
Yeah. Because on your iPhone you can download, it's called Aira. And what happens is you download the app, and then a person will answer, and you use your camera, and whatever that you need to see, they will tell you.
Yeah, that came up earlier. It's just amazing. The technology that exists today, I wouldn't trade places with you for all the tea in China, but the technology today, in particular with the iPhones, has to have made life a lot easier for a lot of people in your position. And, you mentioned your very rare condition that you had, but something I thought was going to come up that has not come up was wet age-related macular degeneration, which can happen instantly. And if you develop symptoms, you call the eye doctor immediately so they can arrest the progress of that disease. It involves injections into the eye, but like anything else, you get used to that.
You get
used to it. I mean, it's just one of those things. Dear, I'm so glad you called, and I'm so glad that you are managing to navigate life with a chipper, upbeat attitude. And I will tell you that I would be willing to bet that your cooking is a lot better than mine.
Maybe so, but anything I cook I don't like, I just don't eat and move on and cook something else. Also, I'd like for the listeners to know about two organizations, the National Federation of the Blind and ACB, which is the American Council for the Blind. They advocate for blind people, and the organization to belong, well, you don't have to be blind to belong, but the majority of the membership are people that are blind. And they have meetings in this area here. So reach out to ACB, NFB, Commission for the Blind, VIA, and your life will be much better. It's a challenge, and it's stressful. And believe me, I have some pity parties sometimes. But, you know, what they say, you have a pity party, and then you put on your big girl panties and you keep it moving. So all blind people, keep it moving. You can do it. Thanks for letting me talk, Tom.
Oh, Diane, my pleasure. Thank you very much. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the pity party thing, because, look, I, as I said earlier, when you go through a major life event like, going blind, it would be, in my opinion, unnatural to not go through a period of very deep depression, because your entire life has been turned upside down. It happens with heart patients more than they will even admit. If you've had a serious heart attack, if you go blind, I suppose if you lose your hearing, you probably experience bouts of depression, especially at the beginning, because it represents an unexpected total change of the way you have lived your life. I want to switch gears here. First of all, thank you to everybody who called in on this show that I have never done before on what it's like being blind. Okay. And I have always been fascinated by this. I did the telethon many years ago for the radio reading service that is offered for blind people, and was honored to do it. And then, as fate would have it, almost lost the use of my right eye, and just amazing physician was able to give me 20/25 vision despite a totally detached retina 4 days after the case presented. There's not a day that goes by I do not say, wow, did I dodge a bullet? So I do have a special place in my heart, because I was halfway there and I somehow, again, dodged that bullet. But there's something else that I want to get into on WBEN. There are a couple of things going around, and they've been going around now for a couple of months. Number one, there is a nasty lower, and sometimes it's combined with an upper GI situation that is going around. And do I really need to get into how awful it is to have upper and lower simultaneously? It's happened to all of us. It's happened to me, and it ain't a lot of fun. Fortunately, it hasn't happened to me in quite some time. The other thing is, there is this cold that is going around, and my dear one has had it now for 3 weeks. She got it from probably her granddaughter. I got it from her, and it's on the way out. Absolutely on the way out, because truth be told, I think I've got a pretty strong immune system, to be honest with you, because God knows I exercise it enough. But that's another story for a different day. But anyway, that will never be told here. There's this nasty cold that's going around. And a lot of kids are getting these really bad respiratory infections. And I'm not one. Funny thing is, speaking personally, I'm not one to get chest colds. Usually they're in my throat. You've heard me on the air sometimes losing my voice. And that's because of, for whatever reason, my larynx is susceptible to, like, the smoke from the Canadian fires, ragweed, a lot of allergens just settle in the throat. But this cold has actually gone down into the chest, but it's not, it's on the mend. But it's kind of funny, because my wife and I would go out and we'd sit in a very secluded place, and sound like a tuberculosis ward sometimes. But we didn't give it to anybody, and we always warned people, and they were totally cool with it, because we don't believe in spreading germs around much. And I was kind of curious. We did a show on this a while back, but I want to whip it out again, the final half hour of the program, and it deals with the supplements you take. And do you believe that your garlic supplements, your vitamin B supplements, your vitamin C supplements, do you believe that they do you any good whatsoever? And I'm going to confess to you now that I am one by one getting myself off of the supplements that I had been taking during COVID because I suspect, but I can't prove, that that supplement binge may, underline may, be one of the reasons why I keep getting these stupid kidney stones. And I'm going to give it, you know, I'm one by one, I'm eliminating outside supplements from my life. And I've stopped drinking vitamin water in favor of lemon water. Because, you know, when suddenly you start getting stuff that you never had before, you look for the variables that have come up and you try to establish causality. For example, and people might not want to hear this, but, you know, why is it that I never had an issue with edema in the legs until the COVID vaccine, and then suddenly my legs look like an elephant's? And the only variable that changed was the COVID shot. And privately, I've had doctors say, yeah, I get a lot of that. I'm just saying, they don't go public because it's a political hot potato. But do you do supplements and do you think they make you healthier? Or are we literally, in the case of water-soluble vitamin C, just peeing our money away? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly with you on a Wednesday. Do be careful driving out there in areas that might look like they're fine but might have a thin layer of ice. Alan will have more on traffic coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, Tanner, you want to explain yourself on this? What was the thought process? Come on, we got to know. Tanner Saunders hit master control behind the glass.
Well, I mean, Queen is not something that I normally go to, so I'm trying to defeat the predictability accusations.
Don't you think it's funny that people complain more about the music bumps and comment more on the music bumps than they do about the content of the show?
Hey, the music bumps are a big deal. It sets the tone.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, as far as Queen, and you know that my favorite part is, what did we establish 37 seconds in, Death on Two Legs, the first song on the second side of Night at the Opera?
Well, I know it now. Now we get
there. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like, and by the way, getting back to Pink Floyd, the only problem with Pink Floyd is the song Time. Okay, there's 2 minutes and 20 seconds of clocks ticking and alarms going off before you get the intro Nick Mason drums before the guitar really kicks in and the rhythm kicks in of the song. I like Pink Floyd, but I think they could have shortened that one up just a little bit. But who am I to second guess David Gilmour, Waters, Mason, and Rick, what's his name, the keyboard guy who's no longer with us? I always forget his name, man. I just don't know what what's going on with that. By the way, you're a young man. You're in your early 20s. Does the group The Babies mean anything to you?
I cannot say that it does. No.
Does the name John Waite mean anything to you?
Does not.
You never heard the song Missing You?
Nope.
Oh, I suddenly feel very old. Well, no, because he's playing Saturday locally at the Riv, and I just bought my tickets last night because Mrs. Bowerly is a huge Babies fan, so that makes me, by default, a huge Babies fan. But a whole bunch of people I know are going to be going, so that'll be fun. I won't invite you, don't worry. You're off the hook on that one. It is 542 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I understand John Waite puts on a hell of a concert, so I'm actually looking forward to it. even if it might cost me a few hours with some of the local bands that I really like. Anyway, hey, how you doing? How you doing? I mentioned before the break, and I've got time to take your calls now at 803-0930. I don't even think I've given the phone number out today. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. In light of the respiratory colds that are going around, do you take any supplements whatsoever? Are you a supplement person? Gotta have my supplement, gotta have my garlic, gotta have the vitamin D3 because we don't get enough sunshine in Buffalo, gotta take my B12 for energy and for stress, gotta take my Centrum. And of course, if you're of a certain age, Centrum Senior. Oh, you know it's getting to the end when you start buying things that say Senior or Silver. Yeah. But anyway, and the term early bird special starts to have a special appeal to you. But anyway, I'm sorry, just the little things you notice along the way. But anyway, I want to know, if you're listening to this program, do you bother with supplements or do you think supplements are a waste of time? Now, I've spent a lot of money on supplements. And if you were to look in my kitchen right now, you would think that I'm operating my own pharmacy. Okay, and it's not the prescription stuff as much as it is the supplemental stuff, okay, like garlic extract. And, you know, I've been taking the garlic extract because it's supposed to reduce the accumulation of plaque in the arteries. I read up on it, and I saw a lot of articles that seemed to back that up. Therefore, I buy the garlic supplement. Am I going to buy it anymore? I don't know, because I'm starting to think that I'm just peeing away way too much money on supplements that I could be peeing away at one of Dave Schutte's restaurants. Sorry, Dave. I've got to have fun with you. But anyway, vitamin C. I take the Ester C every day. And does it prevent colds? Does it lessen colds? Does it improve immunity? I don't know. But I buy it, I take it, I take the vitamin D, as in Delta 3, because I basically don't, we don't get a lot of sun in Buffalo. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a vitamin D supplement in an area that is going to be overcast from now until July. And then when July comes, we'll probably be under blankets again at night like we were this past July. Cynicism reigns supreme on the program. Do you take supplements and do you think they actually work? Why do you take the supplements you take? And are you any healthier now than you were before you took the supplements? Or do you still end up with the colds, the flus? And well, people use the word flu and they really mean upper and lower GI issues. Have you, because that just sounds a whole lot more, I have the flu, sounds a lot better than, yes, it was explosive. Well, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm sorry, I just had a flashback to Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, where Samuel L. Jackson is giving Tim Roth all the details he needed to know when telling the story about the commode story. And it's just like, it cracks me up every time I see it. I'm sorry. Anyway, what supplements do you take? Seriously, Americans spend billions of dollars every year on supplements. You probably spend a lot of money on supplements. And maybe you can help me, okay? Because honestly, I don't know if I should even continue buying supplements anymore. During COVID, I was taking zinc every day. I still ended up with COVID. Of course, I also got the vaccine, still ended up with COVID, but It was a real mild case of COVID. And as I told you before, the only thing that happened to me as a result of COVID was about a 2 to 3 month period where I was somewhat aphasic and I couldn't think of the word I wanted to use when I was on the air. And if you think back to those days, those shows, I would just laugh about it and just call it, hey, COVID brain, sorry. It's just one of those things. But it only lasted 3 months. I know people who still can't smell. I know people who still can't taste, like years after their experience with COVID. So I got off pretty lightly. Question is, if I hadn't gotten vaccinated, would I still have gotten off as lightly as I did? And that's an unanswerable question. We'll never know. But I do believe 1,000,000% that that's what caused the edema in my lower extremities, because it's the only variable that was different, and the sequence of time was injection, and then within a day or two, massive swelling of the legs. I'd call that a correlation, personally, but they won't say it publicly. I mean, some of my doctors, they'll privately say, I see a lot of that, but they're not going to publicly say it, and that's cool. I understand it's a political hot potato, which, by the way, it's pretty scary that medicine and science is a political hot potato, because the unwavering search for the truth about a disease or a so-called vaccine should never be governed by political considerations. It should only be governed by science and science alone. It shouldn't be governed by anything but science. And if there is a correlation between the so-called vaccine and various ailments that you didn't have before, well, you know what? Those should be investigated. They should not be dismissed, not if you are on a never-ending quest for the truth. And I can only speak, as I've said, to my own personal case, my own personal situation, and what happened to me. And I know that I know of very healthy people who never had AFib until they received the vaccine. And I don't think that science should ever turn away from examining possible causalities of these situations because of political considerations. There either is a correlation or there is not a correlation, and it's not a Democrat issue, it's not a Republican issue, it's a science issue. And it's a pretty scary world when scientists and medical professionals are dissuaded strongly from asking questions about certain, we would ask questions about any drug that said, hey, this will cure your cancer. We'd be asking a million questions, but you're not allowed to ask questions about the COVID vaccine. And I'll tell you this much, look, you can do what you want to do, because it's your body, but I will tell you, I don't do well, as I've mentioned before, I don't do well with vaccines. And there is just no way in hell I'm going to get a booster COVID vaccine. It's just not going to happen. I'll take my chances with getting COVID again rather than take my chances with a booster. And somebody very, very close to me has gotten every single booster ever recommended, and they still ended up with COVID and ended up in quarantine for 10 days in a hospital. They weren't deathly ill, but I just said, so how about that booster? And this person told me, I am never getting another COVID shot. Like, hey. I hear you, man. I hear you. But supplements, what do you take? What do you take them for? And do they do any good? Do they do any good? It is Bowerly with you on the radio. And let's go to Debbie in Niagara Falls. Debbie talking about supplements.
Yeah. You caught me off guard. Okay. A couple of things. Last night I was driving home on Niagara Falls Boulevard from Amherst, from the Boulevard Mall to Wheatfield in Niagara Falls. We were going 20 miles an hour the whole way, and I was listening to your show. I didn't call in. So just that. And also, I wanted to call in. My grandson's completely blind. That was the show this afternoon that you started out with. But anyhow, that's for another time. I'll call in. But my experience is I've never been vaccinated. I'm a retired RN. I'm in my 70s. I'm 70 years old. I do take zinc myself, 50 milligrams, 5 days a week. And I've never had COVID. I'm not anti-vax. I've been vaccinated for all other vaccines. I just wasn't comfortable with the way the COVID vaccine has been, the way it's been released. And I think it needs a few more years. And I also have many stories, as you do. And just,
I mean, all these, look, I'm sorry.
I've never
all
had
these,
COVID, though, thankfully.
Look, my dear, you're in the health field. All of these people who are previously asymptomatic, who suddenly develop conditions after being injected, that goes beyond coincidence. I'm sorry. And it goes, it leans towards some kind of a correlation.
Yeah.
Now, why? And I'm sorry, that's just basic science 101 research. Now, were you taking the zinc supplements before COVID?
You know what? I started in January of what was it, 2018, taking it because it was recommended to me by my dermatologist for a skin condition.
Oh.
But I also, what zinc is, I won't say a miracle drug, but it's such a good supplement, and it really has worked for me. I don't have COVID. Inside the healthcare field, there are a lot of stories, and not just stories, just the way that documentation was required during COVID. It was almost, not quite, almost falsifying records, almost, in many of the facilities in New York State and beyond. So just not comfortable. I'm not anti-vax, but I'm very cautious with COVID. And I haven't been vaccinated. I've been blessed. I don't have COVID. I've taken a couple airplane flights. So I'm very cautious, but I take the zinc. I walk. And let me just say another thing. I really wouldn't say that. I would say it's political, but it's more of a the Democrat Party. They don't want a lot of questions asked, and I feel it's a lot. My point of view with the COVID, with having to be so quiet about it, and not reporting symptoms as they should be reported, not being able to ask questions publicly, that the Democrats Party is responsible for a lot of that, most of it, I would say.
Whether it's the Democrats or not, as far as the vaccine, the only issue science should be concerned with is a vaccine safe and effective, and what are the real probabilities of side effects of a given vaccine? And are there correlations? And how in the hell does that have to be made political? That's what that really bothers me in ways I can't even begin to get into, because that's not science. Is a quest for the truth. It's not a quest to prove an ideology. You can go back and look at the early polio vaccines, and a guy named Ochsner, O-C-H-S-N-E-R, I believe. I might have missed a letter there. He gave his own grandkids the polio injection. One of them died. The other was paralyzed for life. I'm not saying that's COVID. I'm just saying that it was a new vaccine. My dear, I'm out of time.
We're not allowed to ask questions.
My love, I thank you. I must say goodbye. I really hate the fact that it turned political when it never. Science should not be political ever. It's science. I mean, a test tube isn't a Republican or a Democrat or a socialist or anything like that. It's a bloody test tube. All right. It is 5:58 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly. Hey, thanks a lot for all the calls today, guys and ladies. I really appreciate it. And stand by, because Tom Puckett's coming up with Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7. And thanks to Tanner Saunders for an amazing performance behind the glass. As always, he never disappoints.